Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
We spent 400,000 Chris Flyer, and this 480,000 Chris Flyer points that we spent, it would have been 9,600 in cash. So a round trip ticket back in 2019, when we flew out, I believe we flew December 18 to January 5th, it was 1,600 per person. It was super expensive. Like, I could not afford to pay 9,600 for all of us just on flight. And then in addition to that, I had the other flights, which were 770 that I covered with my Barclays card. That card, by the way, is amazing. You can close it and reopen it here and there and earn the bonus.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Adi from Why Not Frugal. Adi is a wife and mom of three kids currently based in Houston, and she's definitely one of the OGs of the award travel lifestyle. In this episode, Adi and I discuss some next level tips for how she and her family have gotten to take quite a few first class trips around the world, including a detailed breakdown of an incredible trip to Singapore. Adi also lets us know which of these methods sadly no longer exist and which ones are still available for you to leverage. Different tools and methods for supercharging your points earnings come and go. I keep a list of some of my favorite tools at geobreezetravel.com/tools, which you can find in the show notes. Some of these let you earn points that you can apply to travel, such as by converting your Rakuten points to Amex points, and some let you earn cash back through Visa gift cards and other store cards. Remember, always be sure to use someone's referral links whenever you sign up for a new app. One of my favorite tools for stacking points is the Flues app. For example, if you are looking to earn more points on excursions, try the stack. Buy a Groupon gift card through the Flues app for the exact amount the excursion costs on Groupon. Then, click through Rakuten.com to go to Groupon.com and use the gift card that you just bought from Flues there. I have earned almost 20% more cash back on travel excursions or even spa treatments with this trick. Thank you to Flues for partnering with us on this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Hey, Adi, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, we are so happy to have you here today. And before we jump into all of your different points and miles knowledge, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in the wonderful game of points and miles?
Okay, so I started back in 2009. And long story short, I was out of college with no money. I was trying to get to Europe. And I saw this credit card. It was a Lufthansa credit card that I applied for. And it gave me enough miles for a free ticket to Europe. So I got it. I earned the miles and I booked the trip to Europe. Well, let me tell you something. That trip to Europe, in addition that it was free, it earned me miles back in 2009. So I was flying on miles and I earned miles on top of booking the trip on miles. How crazy is that? So that got me started into the miles thing, but I didn't really like started accumulating a ton of miles until 2013. Back in 2013, I attended the Chicago seminars where I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people in the industry. I even met the points guy. Back then, he wasn't what he is today, so... I think it was just him. He didn't have a corporate back then. So I met with a lot of people that talked to me about the rewards that the miles industry can bring. And I was like just eager to apply for cards and earn miles and benefit out of it. So that kind of got me started, like real started. So in 2013, I just started applying for a lot of cards to earn the bonuses. Back then, you could churn credit cards. So you could open and close the credit card as you wished. you could have the same credit card at the same time. Like there were some City A Advantage cards that I had them like in 2-3 copies. The same card at the same time. You could apply and close however you wished for.
Those were the golden days.
Yeah, it was super nice. It was so easy to accumulate points. But let me tell you something, Julia. Even back then, the only financial industry that was super strict was Amex. So Amex let you open a card once in a lifetime. That was back in 2013. Everybody else had different policies. But then the financial institutions realized that people just opened the cards for the bonus, and then they just tightened their policies. Plus, they added a lot of limitations, like you cannot apply for the same card in a certain period and stuff like that. Well, what can you do? You just, if they change the rules, you just keep playing the game.
Yeah, so that was in 2013, back in like the golden age. That you probably got through, what, 3 or 4 years being able to turn that way before they made the rules a little bit stricter?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty much the time frame, I would say, 2-3 years. I think back in 2016-17, they kind of tightened their policies.
Any cool trips that you got to take during that time with all of those miles that you were racking up?
So we did a lot of first class, yeah. Because it was so easy to do it. And I mean, you would spend like 100,000+ on a one-way trip per person. So if you would do first class to Asia round trip for, I mean, back then I would just travel, just me and George, because my kids were super young. So my youngest kid was born in 2013. So they were way too young to take them on trips back then. So we were kind of traveling as a couple. And we were doing a lot of first class, but we would burn over 400,000 points on one trip just in flight, plus hotels and everything else. So I didn't mind because I knew that it's so easy to stack up on those points. Like I would buy something now and within half a year, I would have the points back to book another trip. So it was pretty cool. Like we got really nice trips in the books.
So what's your strategy now, since it's a lot harder and you can't churn through cards as much?
So right now, we are still opening cards. My strategy is to open cards every 3 months. And I do not know like if I'm going to open 1, 2, 3. It all depends. If I find good deals, like this year, it's crazy. The financial industries just want your business and they come out with all these fantastic offers that you really can't turn down. So I just met my minimum spend on the last 4 credit cards that we applied for. So I applied for 2 Amex Platinums. Each of them required 15,000 points. Then we applied for the Quest, United Quest, that earned 100,000 points by spending 10,000 within 6 months, but we met the spend within 3 months. And then I got an Amex Delta card. I can't remember what the bonus was for that, but it was really good. So that's why I got it. So I just finished spending like, I believe 45,000.
What did you spend $45,000 on?
So... today, I'm mostly spending it on buying groups, which is super advanced for like maybe the beginners and regular audience. But last year, there were other opportunities. So there were these bank accounts that are FDIC approved. It's GoBank and Serve. I'm not really sure if you're familiar with them. Mm-hmm. You could buy gift cards and then liquidate them at Walmart by adding the funds from the gift cards to these bank accounts. So GoBank and Serve. In the past, you could, like, if you would have, like, the GoBank limit was 2,500 and the serve limit was 5,000 per month. So I was able to liquidate last year 17,000 per month just by adding funds to GoBank and serve. But then back in December, Walmart kind of tightened their policy. And right now I can just add here and there amounts to these credit cards. Like, you shouldn't add a big amount. If you add the 400, 500, they are fine with it. So, like, even the regular, like, beginner could do this, get these bank accounts and then liquidate gift cards on them. Oh, I want to mention here, Julia, that only certain gift cards work. Only the MetaBank Visa gift cards work.
And this doesn't work anymore, right? Because you mentioned the GoBank and the Serve cards. You were doing this through Walmart and it became a little bit tighter. So unfortunately, this is another easy thing that kind of went away, right?
It still works for small amounts. So last month I was able to add a $400, but in the past I was able to liquidate like thousands of dollars. So it still works for small amounts here and there. I can't tell if it works in your region. From what I read online, like in certain areas, it works better than others.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. You're in Texas, right?
Yes. So in Texas, they kind of got tighter on this.
Yeah, in New York, New Jersey, none of this is allowed. We barely have Walmarts, so we can't do any of this. I have to find other creative ways to earn my points and miles. But if you live in certain states like Indiana, then you have a lot more opportunities to do these different gift card games. And it works out because for me being in the New York area, it just takes way fewer points to even get these redemptions. Like, I can go to Europe in business class, 60,000 points one way, maybe 30,000 points one way if there's a really good sale. But that's much harder to do if you're in Michigan or Indiana or Wisconsin.
Or the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, the West Coast has their tricks to get to Asia, but there's pros and cons based off of where you live. Sometimes it's a lot harder to get redemptions, but it's a lot easier to get points. So the cash flows in and out will just look a lot bigger for some people's accounts than mine, because I just don't need that many points to get good redemptions. So there's always a grass is greener on the other side kind of thing going on.
That's true. I agree. Yeah. But yeah, like my biggest way to earn points is by opening credit cards. Yeah, that's kind of what I do. And you know what? It's so interesting that a lot of people think that opening credit cards is affecting your credit score, which actually is not true. I mean, it is true in a way. So at the moment, whenever you open your credit card, you get an impact on your credit score. So your credit score drops for about 8-9 points at that time. But within 3 months, your credit score recovers. So that's kind of my strategy. Like, I apply for credit card every 3 months. And I apply for whatever I want, but only every 3 months, because then I can keep track of my impact on my credit score. And so here is the thing. A lot of people don't realize that by having a high credit limit, it actually impacts your credit score in a positive way. And you show to the financial institutions that you have stability. Let me give you an example. So, for example, if you have a $10,000 credit limit and you spend $2,000 a month, that's like 20% out of your credit limit. That's your credit utilization ratio. But if you have a credit limit of $100,000 and you spend $2,000 a month, that's only 2% credit utilization ratio. And this credit utilization ratio is really influencing your credit score. So if you have a lower utilization ratio, then your credit score is going to be higher than when you have a higher utilization ratio. So by opening credit cards, even though it impacts your score at the moment you open it, within 3 months, your credit score is back up. It could be even higher than it was before because your utilization ratio is increasing and is impacting your credit score in a positive way. So we recently refinanced. We have three properties, and we refinanced all our three properties because our credit scores were in the 805 ratio. 805 credit score. And when we refinanced, our score dropped by 30. And then within 3 months, it went back even higher. It's crazy how it works. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Are these other properties like Airbnbs or rental properties, or what are they?
Yes. So we have two rental properties and our home. And we just refinance everything because we saved a ton on interest rate.
Are you able to get a lot of points and miles by renting out properties?
Not really. No.
That's unfortunate. Just because there's not a lot of upkeep costs or anything?
Yeah, so we use our credit card whenever we do remodeling on the properties or if anything needs to be fixed, but not really. What we were able to do, so we have really high spend because we have a mortgage on those. When we were using GoBank and Serve, we were able to liquidate gift cards on those bank accounts and then pay the mortgage with the money from GoBank and Serve.
Nice. So is this what you do full time, is the property management, or what do you do as your day job?
So I work as a project manager for a financial industry. And then in addition to that, we have two rental properties and we invest in the stock market for 1K.
Are you able to leverage any of this to earn a lot of points and miles? I know that you mentioned the rental properties don't earn as much as you would hope, but is there anything else, like do you travel for work or anything like that, where you're able to use your lifestyle to earn more points?
Unfortunately, I do not travel for work. Yeah, I know there are some people out there that do a lot of travel and gain a ton of points from it. But yeah, I do not do that. And I believe you don't do that either, right?
Yeah, my current job, I don't have to travel very much at all. So I unfortunately don't get that too much either.
Yeah, we need to be creative to gaining points in a different way.
For sure. Hey, everybody, quick life update. I got a new job. I recently accepted a position as a senior actuarial consultant, and I am so excited to earn more points and miles the old-fashioned way with business travel. Also, though, this means I'm going to have to cut back on the number of one-on-one coaching calls that I have available each month. If you would like to grab one of the limited spots, check out the link in the show notes. Also, I give away one free one-on-one coaching call each week. The secret link to sign up is in my weekly newsletter, which goes out every Monday and is first come, first serve to grab the call. Also, I'm going to start reserving 30 minutes of each month's masterclass for group coaching. Even if you're a beginner and shy to ask questions in front of everyone, all you need to do is type out your question and you will get a response from a room full of experts. You can find links to sign up for the newsletter, monthly masterclasses, and Patreon, which gets you access to the masterclasses and also recordings of all past events, in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout out goes out to Lucas. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. So, especially for you, because you have a family of five. So can you talk a little bit about how that works with your points and miles strategy? How are you able to find award space? You talked a little bit about how you are able to earn enough points to get five tickets, but where are you finding five award tickets in one plane? Because you have small children.
Yes. So I want to add to this. So I have my mom living with us. And whenever we travel as a family, we travel as a family of six. Well, what's really nice is that my mom trusts me with her credit score. And I get to apply for credit cards for her too, but I need to meet the spend. So I can utilize her score, but I need to take care of the spend for her. So whenever we travel as a family. Whenever we travel as a family, we travel as a family of six. So we need two rooms every time we go somewhere. And as a family tradition, we usually travel either during Thanksgiving week or during Christmas, New Year's week. And during that period of time, it's very difficult to find availability, like either flights or hotels, everything is pumped up. So what I started to do as a strategy is try to book a year in advance to make sure that I can find availability for all of us to book on points. Otherwise, I'm pretty stuck on booking it on cash. So right now, I'm planning the trip for December 2022. I really want to go to Indonesia. I don't know. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been to Bali. It's nice. It's real nice.
Oh, I just hope that they will open up by next year.
What's an example of one of these trips that you've gotten to take in the past where you were able to get 6 tickets and you did this over Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving? So heavy, heavy travel season. How much would it have cost in cash? How many points did you have to spend? Where did you transfer your points? Can we get all the details on one of these trips that you've done?
Sure. So one of my favorite trips was in 2019. We all flew to Asia, more exactly to Singapore and Thailand. So George and I visited Singapore and Thailand back in 2017, and we loved it. So we knew we wanted to go back. We decided to take the whole family back for Christmas and New Year's 2019. So flights for us, it's really worked to redeem KrisFlyer miles that Singapore Airlines. So we are located in Houston. We flew Houston to Manchester, Manchester to Singapore, and we got off in Singapore. We could have go all the way to Thailand, but we decided to get off in Singapore because I wanted my mom and the kids to visit Singapore. The same price would have been if we would go all the way to Thailand, to one city in Thailand. So that was 40,000 KrisFlyer miles plus $5.60 in tax per person. Houston, Manchester, Manchester, Singapore. This might not have been the best redemption. We could have find direct flights on KrisFlyer from the West Coast. But this is what worked out for us, and they found availability for everybody. And it was a long flight, but we were all together. So, and then on the way back, we flew. Oh, okay. Sorry. Let me go back. So we landed in Singapore. We stayed in Singapore for 3 days to visit Singapore. And then from Singapore, we flew to Phuket. And Singapore to Phuket was $52 per person, and we booked Jetstar Airlines for it. It was super cheap. I was not willing to use any miles or anything. I covered it with my Barclays arrival card. It was $312 for the whole family. I paid another $50 for 2 luggages. So we traveled pretty light. We had 2 luggages for all of us on this trip. And then in Phuket, we stayed for 5 nights. And from Phuket, we flew to Koh Samui. It was a $60 flight on Bangkok Airways. Again, it was so cheap. It didn't make sense to redeem any miles. And of course, like whenever you book a flight, you consider like what's the cost and how many miles does it take? And then you can just make your choice if it's worth it to redeem miles or not.
Yeah, that's really important for when people get into award travel. There's a lot of people who are like, I want to never pay money to fly again. And so you're always just throwing points at things. But it is really important to make sure you're getting good value out of those points. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be getting those 20-cent per point redemptions on Emirates First Class every time. But at least making sure you're getting a couple cents per point whenever you're redeeming, and then save your points if it's not going to meet that threshold. So I think that's a really important lesson you pointed out too.
Yeah. And I also want to add that Thailand is so affordable. Like anyone who listens to this call could go there. Like it's one of the most affordable countries. Yeah. Just book your travel to Thailand. So from Phuket to Koh Samui, we did a $60 flight. And then we stayed in Koh Samui for 6 days, seven days, six nights. And from Koh Samui, we went back to Singapore, Singapore to Manchester, Manchester to Houston. And at this time, we just booked everything on one leg. So we paid 40,000 points. And it was the whole thing. Thailand to Singapore, Singapore to UK, UK to Houston. 40,000 points. At this time, taxes were higher. I'm not really sure why. Maybe the taxes in UK were higher. $63.80. On the way there, it was only $5.60. So as a summary on what we spent on flights, it was 480,000 points. It was KrisFlyer points that we transferred from Amex. We had a lot of Amex points at that time. But you can also transfer from like Citi or Chase.
Yeah, Singapore KrisFlyer is really good for that because you can transfer from so many different flexible currencies. So if you're like, all right, I have a little bit of Chase, I have a little bit of Amex, I have a little bit of Citi, what can I do? It's a really good strategy to pool them all into Singapore KrisFlyer and go from there because they'll all transfer to Singapore.
Yeah, and I also want to add that if you have a big flight, like it was this one, make sure that you play with the departure. I discovered that we can add this extra leg to Thailand for free just by playing with the reward system. Like you said, you can fly to Europe and maybe you can add a stop somewhere else. And you don't know if you can add that stop unless you try it out. Like play with the system, see what works, see what you can include for free. Why would you not maximize your travel and the number of points you use for your travel?
Yeah, that makes sense. So pre-pandemic, we always tried to cover as many countries as we could, like just doing stopovers on each trip. These days, I'm a little bit more wary because it's such a pain to rebook everything if you have like four stopovers that you magically were able to get into one flight itinerary. So that's really the only holdup I have. Otherwise, I would always just add in free stopovers if I had the option to.
Yeah, that's good.
When you open these cards, you mentioned sometimes you open two or three at a time. Is there a trick that you have to do in order to open multiple cards at the same time, especially if there's the Chase 5/24 or anything like that?
I'm really big on business cards. I don't really open personal cards unless it's a good one, like Barclays, it's a really good one. Or like I open some Southwest cards or I'm under 5/24 right now. I'm still thinking which cards to apply for this round. Like every 3 months, I have a batch of cards that I apply for. So I'm still debating because there are so many good cards out there. It's crazy. And like you said, what's the best way to pick a card? I don't know.
So if you're applying for multiple, let's say like an Amex Business Gold and an Amex Business Platinum and a Chase Inc. at the same time, would that work? Or is there a trick that you have to do in order to do that?
I would suggest different cards with different banks. I would start with the Chase, of course. And then Amex has a maximum of 5 cards. So you need to see if you need to close one of your cards before you apply. Like I'm maxed out right now with Amex. If I decide to apply for another Amex card, I need to close one down. But yeah, I would go for 2 Amexes. Maybe not at the same day. I would apply today and then within 8 days, I would apply again for another one.
Okay. Yeah, that's not too bad. And the 5 Amex cards is a good thing to mention too. It's not something that a lot of people run into because people will go with Chase first and exhaust that. Citi is becoming more popular. So the chances of having 5 Amex cards open at the same time doesn't happen until you're years into this, but it is a good thing to keep in mind is you're only allowed to have 5 Amex cards at any given point.
Yep. And also for the audience, like in case they're not familiar with Amex, the Amex Gold and Amex Platinum are not considered credit cards. They are considered charge cards. So they are not part of your 5 Amex cards.
Yes, thank you. So the five Amex cards would be things like the Amex Hilton card, the Amex Delta card. What else counts towards that five?
Bonvoy cards.
Yep, Amex Marriott. Cool. Speaking of Marriott and Hilton, what was the hotel situation during this trip to Asia? Where did you stay and how many points did it take?
So in Singapore, we stayed as a family at the Holiday Inn Express in Clark Quay, I think it's pronounced.
Clark Quay, yeah.
It's an amazing property. So I highly recommend it. It has a perfect location, super close to shops and restaurants, to the subway. It has a fantastic breakfast. Oh my goodness, so good. And the property is only 35,000 ISG points. Super affordable. You can even use the like the free night certificate. We didn't do that. We just used points. So I thought we got a really good deal at that property. It's a very, very nice property, even though it's a Holiday Inn. The Holiday Inns in Asia are at a different standard than the Holiday Inns in US. And people who didn't experience Holiday Inns in Asia might not go for it. Yeah. When we were in Singapore as a couple, my husband and I, we stayed at JW Marriott. We went really nice. But now because we had to book two rooms, we went to a more affordable property. And we were happy with it. In case you guys want to apply for the card, the ISG Cray card has the highest offer ever, 150,000 points for 3,000 spend. And it comes with an $89 annual fee, but for that $89 annual fee, you get a free night certificate that you can use for a room up to 40,000 points.
You also get fifth night free with this card. It gives you the fifth night free option if you're booking on points, which can save you a lot of points too if you're staying for a full five nights.
Yeah, it's a really amazing credit card. I'm not getting commission to advertise this. But yeah, so that's what we did in Singapore. Then we flew to Phuket. Oh my gosh, in Phuket, I highly recommend this property. So whoever knows me, I really enjoy luxurious trips for free or for points on points. So I try to pick like really nice hotels wherever I go. So I highly recommend this property in Naka Island. It's on the Naka Island Resort. It's part of the Marriott's Luxury Collection Hotels. It's only category 6, so it takes 50,000 points per night. Not bad. Go check it out, really. You all need to go check it out, Naka Island Resort. So it's not Phuket. You get into Phuket and then you take a speedboat that takes you like about 20 minutes away to the secluded island where the only hotel there is this property, the Naka Island Resort. Fantastic property, Julia. I highly recommend it.
Is there a lot of availability with that one, or is it hard to get a lot of dates with that one?
So when we booked this property back in at the beginning of 2019, it was a category 5 property and we paid even less. I check now, right now, if you want to go and you can go, it takes only 35,000 points and they are wide open.
So that's amazing.
I don't know if people don't know about it or what's the deal with this property. You need to look it up. Like those rooms are fantastic. I booked the cheapest room, the cheapest awards redemption back then at the beginning of 2019. And it cost me 40,000 points per night. And I booked 5 nights. So I paid only for 4 because Marriott offers the free night free when you book on points. So I paid only 160,000 points per room. We booked 2 rooms. Because we need 2 rooms wherever we go. And I booked the lowest room available, the cheapest room. And they upgraded us for free to the tropical sea view villa with a private pool. It was a 5,000 square foot villa with this outdoor pool and outdoor patio and shower and tub outdoors. And it was a fantastic redemption. It was the best experience ever. We were there for Christmas 2019 and we loved it. We would love to go back. I have to add here that the food is pretty expensive. So they offer the free breakfast and they include a glass of champagne for breakfast, but then lunch and dinner are a little bit pricey.
How much would this 5,000 square foot villa cost if you just paid money for it?
Okay, so during the holidays in December, it was 1,200, the 5,000 square foot villa. The regular room that we booked was 500 in cash, but we decided to spend the 40,000 points per night.
So you were able to get all of those flights, like from Texas to Singapore and Thailand, your Singapore hotels, your Thailand hotels. How much would this have cost in total? Because I haven't been tracking the math that you've been saying this whole time.
So everything would have added up to around 32,000.
But instead,
yeah, it's a lot. We are a family of six too, but instead we paid 1.4 million points. It sounds insane and it can be really intimidating, but if you break it down in small steps, you can accomplish it. Like, don't get intimidated by this large amount of points that it requires to book a trip. Just think about, okay, let's first gain the points for the big flight, which is like 480,000. And then let's move on to the next thing. Like, break it out in small chunks that you can accomplish instead of being intimidated by the 1.4 million number.
Yeah, that's good advice. And also for a lot of people listening, they might not need to get six tickets. If you only need to do one, two, or three tickets, then suddenly that number is a lot smaller and it seems a lot more doable.
Yeah, that's true. So I believe it's more important just to start working on it and booking whatever you have available, like book your first trip on points, than just postponing it and waiting for I don't know why.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And speaking of good advice, could you give a shout out to some other points and miles people that you would recommend that our listeners check out on Instagram?
Yeah. So Jessica Long, she has the Our Long Life blog. She's amazing. She recently did a status match from M Life to Caesars, and then from Caesars Diamond to Wyndham. And actually, I followed her steps. And last weekend, we drove 4 hours to Louisiana to a casino to get the Caesars Diamond status from M Life. And we already matched to Wyndham. So thank you, Jessica, for posting this content on Instagram. Go follow her if you need all the details and the steps on how she did it. And I also want to give a shout out to Tall Guy Finance. He has really great post about his journey to become a millionaire. So if you are more into that, go follow him.
That's awesome. What kind of things do you get with Wyndham status? Because I think that's a program that people don't talk about very often.
Yeah, so people don't really talk about it because it's very difficult to get their status. Unless you open a Wyndham credit card or you do the status match from Caesars, I don't think there is any other way to gain their status. So Wyndham offers $150 credit at the restaurant on your birthday month. So let's say your birthday is August 15th, then during the month of August, you have this $150 credit that you can use at one of their restaurants. And in addition to that, They also offer credit to $100 credit to a spa.
Oh, nice. So $250 of credits right there.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, right? And then in addition to that, you gain the credits from Caesars because you status match to Caesars, and Caesars offers additional credits for restaurant, and then they offer 2 free show tickets a month.
Yeah, this is so important. If you live in the Las Vegas area, definitely take advantage of all the casino status matching. You can get a lot of free stuff.
Yeah, we are actually prepping. We booked a trip for October to fly to Vegas, and that's the main reason we wanted to do the status match, so we can earn all these benefits that comes with it.
Sounds good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing when you post about that trip on Instagram. So speaking of, where can people find you on the internet?
So my Instagram handle is why not frugal. Like, why are you not frugal when you can save money on your trip? Why would you pay the full amount? Be smart about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Adi, so much for coming onto the show today. We have learned so much. These are some next level, really advanced credit card strategies that you mentioned today. So I'm sure our listeners will get a lot of enjoyment out of that. And also, that is such an incredible trip that you got to take to Singapore and Thailand, saving more than $30,000 in one trip for 6 people. So well done.
Thank you, Julia. It was a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!